to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich, and I would like to welcome you back to Season 3, Episode 6. Buon San Valentino, or Happy Valentine's Day from Italy. I hope you are having a day filled with love. I want to thank you to those of you who wrote me birthday messages during the past week. I just celebrated yesterday my second birthday here in Italy, and it was a great day, and I really enjoyed spending time with all the Italian family here. The house was very full last night. Alessandro cooked a fantastic seafood-inspired meal, and we just had a wonderful evening of sharing time together, sitting around the kitchen, and having a very Italian evening together. And lots of laughing and talking and storytelling, and voices get raised, people get passionate about things, emotions get all stirred up. And anyway, it was a beautiful evening. Alessandro's aunt, Anna Maria, made a cake that was a pineapple cake, and it sort of looked like a pineapple upside down cake, but it was just a cake that was filled with lots of pineapple, one of the most delicious cakes I've ever had. And it was just a beautiful evening. It's really fun when I get together with the Italian family members, because it's just hours of uninterrupted Italian practice. It's just really, really special. Yesterday, my grandmother in California sent me a birthday message. And in her message, I'm going to paraphrase it, she basically just said, "Have a wonderful day. I love you. I miss you. And just be grateful for all your blessings, because there are many of them in your life." And there really are. And I was really grateful that she said that, because it reminded me how many blessings I do have. And I've been thinking about that ever since she sent that. And it's just so true. It's so easy sometimes for me to focus on the things in my life that are not exactly how I want them to go. Yesterday, right before the family all arrived, I was just checking over my new website that I've been so excited about, and, you know, getting this new news situation all figured out. And I went to check out the website, and like, most of my articles were gone, and some of the other articles were like blended with other articles, and it's this just absolute tangled mess of a disaster. And I spent hours of my birthday trying to get it fixed and figured out. So don't, whatever you do, don't go to my new website at the moment. I'm not even going to remind you of what the location or what the name of the website is right now, because anyway, it's kind of like under construction again. I've got to get some tech support or something to figure out what happened. What did I do something? But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, in spite of the fact that, you know, weeks and months of work have to be maybe restarted from the beginning, but in the grand scheme of things, that does not compare. That sort of one momentary disruption to my life or disappointment just doesn't compare to all the blessings. And anyway, I just spent the rest of the day trying to forget about that website until I woke up this morning and started thinking about it again. But I've just been really trying to focus on how many things I have to be grateful for. Okay, so one of the things that I have been doing this past week is, of course, watching the Olympics. I finally figured out what time the Olympics are on here in Italy, what channel they're on, and they're usually on in the morning until about noon. And so I've been watching those, enjoying the Italian commentary, and so I'm enjoying that. And I want to give you a quick update on where we stand as far as the medal count for each country. I'm going to give you the top about 11 countries. So right now, in the lead with the most number of gold medals and the most number of overall medals is Norway, which has 9 gold medals and 2 silvers, 7 bronze, and a total of 21 medals overall. I guess that shouldn't be surprising, considering that Norway is a country with lots and lots of snow. I think I'm about 30% Norwegian and Swedish. So I kind of love that Norway is doing so well. And so then in second place is Germany. They have 8 gold medals with a total of 15 medals. Then you've got the United States in third place, and they have 7 gold medals and a total of 16 overall medals. And then you jump down to China, since they're the host country. They have a total of 5 gold medals, total of 10 total medals. And then you got to jump down, unfortunately, to number 11. But 11th place is still not bad at all. Number 11 with 2 gold medals and a total of 11 medals overall is Italy. So in the top place, you got Norway, then Germany, then United States, Netherlands, Austria, Sweden, China, Russia, number 8, France, number 9, Switzerland is number 10, and in 11th place is Italy. There's only about a week left in the Olympics, so I will give you a final update in next week's episode and let you know how it goes. I'm rooting for Italy, of course. The United States seems to be definitely holding their own in third place, so it'll be interesting to see how things shuffle around. I know there's still a lot of tournaments to happen here, and so anyway, have you been watching the Olympics? Let me know what you've been enjoying watching. There's so many interesting things. I was watching something the other day. I don't even know what it's called. It's the one where there's skiing and shooting. And I was watching these women on these skis just doing this cross-country skiing with these rifles on their backs. And then they stop and they throw themselves down on the snow and they shoot these targets. And then they jump up and ski some more. And it's kind of just amazing. Another, of course, wild one that we all love is curling. And curling is such an interesting one to watch. And speaking of curling, I got the nicest message. I got the nicest birthday message from one of my favorite listeners, Finlay, who is in Scotland. And he sent me the most lovely video message on Instagram. And I wish that the sound quality, it was kind of windy on the beach and the waves were making a lot of noise. And so I couldn't really capture the sound. I would share his message with you. I was going to ask him, but unfortunately there was so much background noise I couldn't get the quality of the sound perfect. But anyway, he took this video looking out to the ocean off right on the coast, the western coast of Scotland. And out there in the distance you could see the sun sort of setting. And he said he was taking this video at the end of the day on his way home from work. But on the horizon, you see this island. And it's this kind of, it looks just like a large, really huge stone, just kind of rounded stone sitting out in the ocean. And Finlay said, I know that you're interested in the Olympics. And this island is the only island in between me, where I am, and New York City. And this island is the island where they get all of the curling stones. And so they turn, they get the raw stones from this island, which is according to Finlay, it's a dormant volcano. So all of the 2022 Olympic curling stones came from that island that Finlay took a video of and sent me. And I was just so impressed by that little bit of knowledge. I love little bits of knowledge like that, interesting little details. The island is actually, I'm probably going to completely mispronounce this name, but it's the island of Alsa Craig, I believe. And I know I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but anyway, it's an uninhabited Scottish island. And so that's, if you happen to watch any of the curling games, which is actually where Italy won their first gold medal. And so that was just such a special message from Finlay. So thanks again, Finlay, for that message and for that information, sharing that with me. And then in doing so, you shared it with all of our listeners from around the world. So that was a very, very special message that only you could have sent. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do that and also wishing me a happy birthday. So thank you. So as I'm sure you've been watching in the news, it's pretty much at the forefront of the news cycle these days about what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. And I've had some people ask me, how do I feel about this happening? And does this make me concerned at all living so close to Russia and Ukraine. And the reality is, yes, that is Eastern Europe, but it's not really, really terribly close. I have to admit, it does make me a bit uneasy. I've done a lot of reading about the topic and tried to research and understand really what's happening and why. And I am not a fan of a lot of governments around the world, because I just think that it's so easy for governments to become corrupt. I think the Russian government is the epitome, kind of along with the Chinese government. I think that these dictatorship governments with all this power and people that get killed and banished and imprisoned and tortured if they don't follow the regime, that's obviously, of course, what's happening in Russia. But I tried my best to understand what's happening in Russia and why, and how could this be avoided, and you know, what could be done. And apparently, I'm going to just give you a quick synopsis on what I know, and I don't know if you're interested in this or not. I'm going to just give you a quick little synopsis on what I've come to understand from digging into this and researching it to the extent that I have. I don't know all the history of Ukraine, but they were part of the influence of Russia at one point. Putin has been referring to Ukraine as part of Russia for a long time. And so anyway, one of the main concerns from the perspective of the Russians is that Ukraine has been seeking to become a member of NATO. NATO stands for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and sometimes it's called the Northern Atlantic Treaty Alliance. Anyway, it's an alliance between 27 countries and two North American countries. These countries have all kind of, after World War II, they all banded together to create this alliance to say, you know, if one of you ever gets invaded or attacked or whatever, we will be here. We will stand with you. Very much the way the United States stepped in and sort of helped Europe when Europe was being taken over by the Nazis and all of that in World War II. So just to make sure that never happened again, this NATO was created. And it's been very good for the last, you know, 70 plus years, more like 80 years, of keeping Europe safe from people who would want to invade Europe. It doesn't seem to me that Russia is wanting to take over Europe the way that the Nazis and Hitler wanted to. It seems that what Putin is the most concerned with is Ukraine becoming a member of NATO and having a NATO alliance country become part of what he still considers part of Russia. And so this showing of force and putting himself down on the border of Ukraine is sort of saying, like, listen, if you guys are planning to team up with Ukraine and make them a member of NATO, which is just kind of by default a non-ally, I don't know if you would say an enemy of Russia, but certainly that NATO would not consider themselves to be allies with Russia. Russia wants to sort of exert its power and pull Ukraine back into its control. Whether or not it's going to call Ukraine Russia or just say we now occupy Ukraine and it's part of our country and under our control, I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. Nobody knows, but it seems like an invasion is imminent. From what I've understood, if the United States government and the member states of NATO had just said, we promise that we will not make Ukraine a member of NATO, then it seems like Ukraine would not maybe be in the situation of being invaded. So I'm certainly not trying to make excuses for anyone. I think that the Russian government is very problematic, and it's basically evil, in my opinion, you know, everything that they've done. I just don't trust them. I don't trust anything they say. But that's what I've come to understand about the situation. So as of right now, Valentine's Day of 2022, Russia has not yet invaded Ukraine. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep you posted on how things evolve and and progress here and what that means for Italy. And for those of you who are interested in moving to Italy, who feel like, oh man, you know, Italy and Europe seems so safe, and now you've got all this strange movement happening in the Eastern Europe, you know, what does that mean for the safety of Italy? Because Italy is a NATO country, and the United States has a lot of personnel here in Italy. Ships and planes and nuclear warheads, I believe, and all this stuff, it's all sort of here in Italy. And so, because Italy is very centrally located to the Middle East, to Israel, to Europe, and it'll just be interesting to know how things progress. I don't know what's going to be happening. So anyway, I'll let you know. Okay, for the rest of this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you a couple of stories that happened in the past week of ways I got myself into situations that were embarrassing, which I seem to have a real knack at getting myself into these real interesting pickles. And so anyway, as I've been sharing this podcast with you for the last year, I've come to realize that when I find myself in the most stressful, embarrassing situations, usually that's a recipe for a story that's worth sharing with you, that the true benefit of the story, the true benefit, I should say, of the experience is to be able to share the experience and the story with you and then sort of get a laugh about it afterwards. But most of these stories, I'm never laughing in the moment. And I certainly wasn't laughing at any of these stories in the moment this past week. So these are some things that happened in relation to Italian language school. So last month, I asked our teacher when we were going to have our final day of school and when we were going to have the test for our course that we were taking. She said that our last day of school was going to be the 10th of February and that we would be having a test that same week. So as we got a little closer, the teacher said, "You're going to have a test on the 8th of February." So we were all kind of prepared for the test. The week before our final week, the teacher said to us, "You know, I've got a practice test for you." At least that's what I understood her to say. "And here's a test for all of you to just practice. It's not difficult. Just, see, you guys will all be fine, I'm sure, and just see sort of where you are." That's what I understood her to say. So we take the test. And, you know, I wasn't stressed about it because it was just a practice test. So I just kind of hurried through it. I didn't really spend much time. It wasn't terribly difficult, but it wasn't the easiest thing ever. But it sort of tested us on everything that we'd been studying for the last 5 months. And so anyway, the teacher went around to each one of us and tallied up what we got on that test. Fast forward to the next week. It's the 8th. Of February, the date of our test, our real test. And I get to class 30 minutes early. I spend about 2 hours before class just kind of going over all the difficult areas. Alessandro spent some very, very wonderful time, you know, going over, preparing me for the test and you know, going over everything. And I wasn't nervous. I've never been a nervous test taker. But, you know, I wanted to do well. I mean, it's the only Italian language course I may ever take. I wanted to do my best. And so I got to class 30 minutes early. The teacher kind of like was shocked, like, "Oh, Nathan, you're here so early." And I was just like, "Yeah, you know, I just wanted to do some studying." And so anyway, I was kind of surprised that none of the other students came early, to be honest. And I was the only one there, you know, doing some kind of last minute cram studying. And anyway, so everybody came in, the lesson started, and I was expecting, you know, I didn't open any of my books or pull out anything. I was just sort of keeping my desk clear for the test. But then the teacher just kind of started a regular lesson. We went through the first hour and through the second hour, and by the time we got to the third hour of school, there was just no mention of the test. And I was just like, man, I wonder, maybe this is just an Italian thing, and maybe they just are kind of casual about testing days here. Maybe it's just going to be tomorrow. I've kind of learned to not question when things don't exactly happen right on the exact date that people say they're going to happen here in Italy. And I've kind of just learned to go with it. So, okay, I didn't say anything. I didn't ask anything. I didn't talk to any of the other students about it. I just said, okay. So Alessandro, you know, asked me when I got home, you know, how did your test go? I was like, there was no test. I don't know what happened, but there was no test. So I'm guessing it's going to be tomorrow. So the next day I go to school and the same thing happens. I get there a little bit early and there's no mention of a test. And we go through the first hour of school. And by the second hour of school, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I raised my hand. I was like, excuse me, teacher, you know, I have a question. She's like, yes, Nathan. And now I sit in the very back of the class. And I don't sit the back of the class because I'm not engaging in the class. The classroom is not very large. I sit in the back of the classroom because when there's no one sitting behind me, and I'm sitting further back than anyone else, then I get to watch everyone. And that's part of my personality. I like to have my back against a wall. When I'm in a restaurant, I don't like to have my back to the room. I like to have my back against the wall so I can see what's happening out in the room. I can actually get very uncomfortable when I can't see what's happening around me. So from my vantage point in the class, I'm sitting in the back corner, the back right corner, so I can see the entire classroom. Sometimes I have a difficulty seeing exactly what the teacher is writing on the chalkboard. Sometimes she writes really small, but at least I get to be in the vantage point that I like to be in. So I raise my hand. I ask this question, when are we going to have the test? Every student in the class turns around in their seats and turns to me and looks at me like, have you lost your mind? And I'm looking at all of them like, why are you all as interested in when this test is going to be? Like, why are you giving me this dirty look? Is it because I brought the test up and you thought she was going to forget the test? Like, I'm like, what's going on? And they start laughing at me. And I'm like looking around like, okay, I don't understand what I just said that was funny. Like, why is this funny? Why are you all staring at me? Why is the teacher laughing now too? The teacher goes, Nathan, you had the test last week. And I'm like, what? I'm like, in my best broken Italian, I'm like, but that was just a practice test, I thought. And she's like, no, Nathan, you did fine. You did great on the test. She's like, you got 92%, and everybody's laughing and people are just looking at me like I'm literally, like, they're like, we always knew he was crazy. Now we're convinced. The fact that I'm the only one in class who doesn't realize that the test is over, we've been graded, we're all good to go, everything's fine, was me. I don't know. They're looking at me like, you are a crazy person. So anyway, then the teacher, who's just laughing because I'm clearly relieved now, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm just like, are you serious? There's no test? And she's laughing. And so she turns and she writes on the board. She writes the whole scenario on the board, and then everybody's laughing while they copy it down, what she's just written on the board. So she writes on the board, Nathan è molto preoccupato per il test finale. Per fortuna, la maestra ha detto che non c'è. Nathan è molto contento. Anyway, just basically, since, you know, Nathan is very preoccupied and worried about the test, the final test. Fortunately, the teacher already gave it. And so Nathan is very, very content now. So anyway, that was the second to the last day of school. So, I mean, my face is red and I'm embarrassed and I'm like, oh my gosh, how can I not realize this? While at the same time, I'm feeling relieved that the test is over. So I go home that night. I tell Alessandro. He laughs at me too. He's like, you're crazy. He's like, how can you not realize that the test was already given? And I'm like, you know, to be honest with you, I have a problem. I've always had this problem when I was in classrooms. And it probably is linked to the idea of me, you know, being so interested in what's happening around me. Sometimes I'll be in class and I'll be daydreaming, or I'll be watching someone in the classroom, imagining their life story, and or watching two people in class whisper at each other, or looking out the window, or just thinking about something. Maybe I'll be thinking about my next podcast episode, or I'll look at my phone, or I'll do something that distracts me. And the next thing you know, I've just missed a whole bunch of class. And even though I can understand Italian now better than ever before, and even though I can understand my teacher really well and know what she's saying, I'm still able to sort of turn off my comprehension and have this background Italian voice kind of turn into, you know, that sound that if you've ever watched those Peanut cartoons with Snoopy and Peanuts and all that, and how the adults, you know, when the children talk to each other, they can understand each other. But when the adults are talking to them, it sounds like, that's kind of what I'm able to do in Italian school. I'm able to sort of turn off my comprehension or something. And then I catch myself when, you know, all of a sudden the teacher's asking me a question and I don't know what page I'm on or which question number she's referring to. And so anyway, that's happened to me. So that is what I explained to Alessandro. That's how this happened. That's how I've been able to, you know, sometimes miss what's happening. Or maybe I think I understand what's happening, but I didn't ask a question about it, a follow-up question. So then I'm now completely misunderstanding. Anyway, so Alessandro laughed. He thought it was funny. And I was like, okay, but now I have to write. I waited till the very last day. I'm like, I've got to write her that letter. I've got to write the teacher that letter and explain this misunderstanding and thank her for, you know, being such a great teacher, but also explain to her that there was a misunderstanding at the beginning of class. I don't have a wife, but, you know, I have an Italian in my life, but he's my partner. He's not my wife. And so anyway, Alessandro's like, if you really think you need to write that letter, you know, I'll help you translate everything and make sure the grammar and the spelling, everything's right. But I really don't know that you need to do that. And I was like, I know I don't need to do it, but I want to do it. And I, you know, if I ever run into my teacher out and about, she's going to be retired. And if we happen to still be spending a lot of time here and I run into her, I just want to be able to have, I don't want anything awkward. I just want to also don't feel right about the situation. So I want to just clarify it. So Alessandro helps me write this letter. And basically what I write in the letter is this: Dear teacher, thank you so much for the last 5 wonderful months of Italian school. You've really helped me so much. I thank you for your patience and your wonderful approach to teaching. You are the best, and I'm very grateful for you. And then I go into the next section of the letter, which is, at the beginning of class, I mentioned that I was married to an Italian, and I am, but I didn't understand what the word moglie meant at the beginning of school, so I didn't realize I had said that or agreed to the fact that I had a wife. But in reality, I have a partner. His name's Alessandro. He's wonderful. He's Italian. He's a psychotherapist. Whatever else I said, and I said, you know, so I hope you can forgive my misunderstanding, and I just wanted to clarify that with you. And thanks again so much for everything. Sincerely yours, Nathan. And anyway, I signed the letter, I sealed it, and that was that. So anyway, I wrote that letter, and then the next day, which was going to be the final day of school, I was like, I'm such a chicken, and I know it, but I'm just like, I'm just going to give her the letter, and then just, you know, and then just like, leave. I may never even see her again, but at least it's handled and it's done. So on my way to school, kind of a few minutes early, so I decide, you know, I'm just going to stop, pick up some flowers to go with this letter, because it's kind of awkward to just hand someone a letter. And it's the final day of school. I'm very grateful for this teacher. I'm going to just buy her some spring flowers of some kind and give her some flowers with this letter. So I stop by a florist. I'm out looking at the flowers and outside this florist shop, and the woman comes out. She's like, kind of, sort of, I think she's like, what are you doing touching these flowers? I don't think you're supposed to touch things here. I think you're supposed to ask for help and have people help you. But, you know, I was just sort of rummaging. I'm from nurseries, and this was sort of set up like an outdoor nursery. And so I was examining the flowers, and she came over. She was very nice, though. And I said, oh, can I have this primrose? There was this really pretty sort of peachy pink colored primrose that was in full bloom. And so I asked her if I could have that. And yes, so she took it inside, wrapped it up, I paid, and then off I went to school. So now I've got this flower and this letter, and I get to school, and unfortunately, the parking lot of the school is locked, and I'm not able to park in the regular parking that I normally park in, so I had to park outside and up the street quite a ways. Now, I had planned to leave the letter and the flowers in the car, and then come back and get them and give them to the teacher after class, because I didn't want to walk in, you know, be the only person giving a last day of school gift to the teacher and make anyone else, all the other students, feel awkward, because I'm sure that they weren't going to bring anything. You know, there's really no need to bring something. It's nice, but I mean, I also had another motive. I was trying to use the flowers to sort of be part of this letter that I was giving the teacher. And of course, I'm overthinking this, I know, but I overthink things, and I know that about myself. You know, we know that. And so anyway, I was like, okay, but wait a minute. Now that I can't park at the school and I've got to park way, way up the street in this other place I've never parked before, what if I run back to the car and I get the letter and the flowers, and then I go back to school, but the teacher's already gone and I've missed her? It's like, well, what can I do? Like, where can I put these plants? Can I hide them in another classroom? And I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. I didn't really have a plan. But as I walked up to school, I walked in and I was thinking to myself, you know what? I'll just leave these flowers and this letter here in the office with the secretaries. And the secretary's office is just right at the entrance. The secretaries have to let each person into the school. So you ring the bell, they let you in the door, and then they make sure that you've tested your temperature before you go into the school. And in some cases, they make you put this hand sanitizer on your hands, and then you can go to class. Well, when I walked in, I had my temperature measured, and immediately the secretary that let me in, she's this lovely, lovely, short, blonde-haired woman, probably in her late 50s. She lets me in, and I can tell, even though she's wearing a mask, I can tell that she's smiling. And, you know, she's smiling because I brought flowers, and she's probably like, oh, you know, wonder who these flowers are for. So I said, these are for Maestra Paula. I was trying to explain to her that I would like to leave these in the office for her. Well, she asked me something in rapid fire Italian that I didn't understand, and I was assuming that she was saying, oh, you want to leave these flowers for Maestra Paola? And I just said, si. And then, so apparently she thought I said, oh, this is a delivery of flowers for the teacher. Would you like me to call her? And so she yells up the stairs, Paola! Paula, she's like yelling up the stairway. You know, my school, my class is up on the third floor of the school. She's yelling up the stairs, Paula. And I've never heard anyone yell in the school before, you know, up the stairs at the teacher. They've always just come up and walked right in the classroom. But so anyway, and now I'm really embarrassed, because there's all the other secretaries are coming out of the office to see what the commotion is, what's going on. Now, once again, I'm the center of attention, which I hate being, believe it or not. I'm actually very shy by nature. I really do not like to have the attention of a whole bunch of people on me, especially when I'm in an awkward situation. I don't know what I'm doing. I can feel myself making an idiot of myself in slow motion. It's like it's happening. And so the other secretaries are coming out. I'm desperately trying to explain to the other secretaries, no, please don't call the teacher. I just wanted to leave these flowers for her. And the other ones are talking to me. And then I hear the teacher from upstairs. She's coming down the stairs. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is turning into such a much bigger thing than it was ever intended. And I wanted this letter to be discreet. I wanted these flowers to just be left on a little table with her name. You know, how simple would that be? That would just be so simple. Anyway, but it just wasn't turning that simple. And so there I am, red-faced behind my mask, totally embarrassed, trying to explain. There's other students coming in behind me. They're trying to figure out what's going on. I'm blocking them because there's not very much room in the entrance of the school and the stairs to everybody have their temperature taken. Meanwhile, the teacher's coming down, the other secretaries are talking to me, and I'm just like, my brain is about ready to like explode because I can't take it. Like I can't take it's overstimulation of embarrassment and a lack. And the other thing I have to say is that the masks, which I really hate masks. I hate masks. I've shared that with you before, but I really hate them. Masks are very difficult when you're trying to understand someone in any language. But when you're trying to understand what someone's saying behind a mask in a language that you don't speak very well, I've come to realize part of the reason why I struggle to speak with people out in public is because most people are wearing masks, and if I can't hear them really clearly, or I can't watch their lips move, I have a hard time understanding what they're saying. So that's another reason why I have to give myself a little bit of a free pass, because it's difficult. Italians are very attached to wearing their masks here. Anyway, so the teacher comes down, and I'm standing there with flowers, and the teacher's like, "Oh, not done, not done. Oh," and she's just like, "Why did you bring flowers? You didn't have to bring flowers and everything." And I'm just, I basically just, you know, the flowers, I had already given the flowers to one of the secretaries, so I didn't even have the flowers anymore. I basically just ran up the stairs. Just ran past the teacher. No, niente, nothing. No, it's nothing. And I just like ran up the stairs, ran into class, red-faced, ran, you know, just went into class, sat in the back of my, you know, sat in my back seat of the classroom. And I'm just like so embarrassed. I'm just like, oh my gosh, what a mess. Now my imagination's running wild. Now I'm imagining the teacher downstairs reading the letter out loud to all of the secretaries and anyone else who's around to listen. And I'm just imagining that that's happening because the teacher's not coming up. You know, normally, you know, you'd think, okay, she's getting ready to teach a class. So, okay, she's got her flowers. She's either going to, you know, oh, how nice. Oh, he's got a letter. Okay, you know, I'll read that later. But she's down there for like a good 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, that's plenty of time for her to not only, you know, read the letter out loud to everyone, but reread it again to everybody who missed it, and everybody to like have a little potluck and bring out some snacks and open a bottle of wine and laugh about Nathan's letter. And like, let's just, oh my gosh, Nathan's got, you know, said he had an Italian wife, but actually he's got an Italian husband, and oh my gosh, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just like, so I'm imagining, of course, all that happening downstairs. I'm sure nothing even close to that is what happened. But anyway, the teacher walks back into the classroom eventually, and she walks in, and she's also clearly very conscious of not embarrassing the other students or me. And she can see, I think, that I'm already embarrassed enough. I don't know if she read the letter downstairs or not, but she goes, Nathan, grazie, grazie. That's all she said. I was so mentally out of sorts and sort of just all out of whack from that first moment from coming into school with those flowers that I had probably one of the most like out of sort days of school that I'd ever had. And I couldn't understand anything anyone was saying. I was having difficulty reading and concentrating, and it was just so crazy. And then the teacher asks me if I'm going to be coming back on Tuesday for level 2 of Italian. Now, Alessandro told me, whatever you do, don't give her this letter if you're going to be going back and ever seeing her again. This letter needs to be the thing that you give her the very last time you ever see her. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, but why? Why is that so important? He's just like, just trust me. Just give her the letter only if you're never going to see her again. And this is like a farewell. So those words are ringing in my head as she's asking me if I'm going to come back as she is teaching level 2, but I've already given her the letter. And so I say, no, thank you so much. I need to go to Italian school. I would like to, but I'm just not going to be here long enough. She's like, well, when are you leaving for the United States? And I was like, well, I think I'm leaving at the end of March to go back to the United States. She's like, okay, well, if you want to, you can stay here and go to the class for the next 2 months. And then whenever you come back, you can take it, you know, finish. You only need a total of 50 hours in this particular course. It's shorter than the other one. It's about half as long, actually. So if you aren't not able to finish all the hours that you need, you can finish it in the fall, in like October or November, and finish it up then. She's like, a lot of students do that. It's very common. So now I'm just like, oh, geez, like, what do I say? You know, I'm like thinking to myself, I really like Italian school, but I'd also sort of made plans for these next few hours extra that I was going to have every day of, you know, all these different days of the week. I have this book that I'm working on and my website that I need to, you know, to keep working on and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh man, I wasn't mentally prepared. I don't do very well when I'm not mentally prepared for a situation. So anyway, so the teacher's just like, no pressure. But if you'd like to come back on Tuesday, you can come. It'll just be the same time, and you can just come and. So I just said, okay, I will. Okay, thank you. I'll think about it, but I think I probably will come back to class if I don't have to worry about missing when I leave to travel. So apparently now I am signed up for level 2 of Italian, and I ordered the book for the next level, and so hopefully I'll get the book in time for the class to start tomorrow. So then I get home that night, and I'm telling Alessandro everything that happened, you know, about me trying to leave the flowers and everything, and it's just such a disaster. I'm like, and I couldn't even concentrate. He's like, it's okay. He's like, it's okay. Don't be so hard on yourself. And he's kind of laughing because he's seen me go through these sort of things many times here in Italy. And he's like, I used to go through this kind of stuff all the time in the United States. Don't you remember? And of course, I don't remember, because in the same way that he does, because it didn't happen to me and I didn't make a big deal out of it. I'm making a much bigger deal out of things here because I'm experiencing them now. So we're having this conversation, and right then my phone gives me a notification that I have an email, and I look down and it's an email from my teacher, and it is the nicest email. And she basically says in her email, I'm going to just read it to you because it's super sweet. So she wrote, Gentile Nathan, grazie davvero per il pensiero e per la bellissima lettera che mi hai scritto. Sono io che mi scuso per te il frandenimento e che ti auguro ogni felicità. Grazie ancora, a martedì, Maestra Paola. Basically what she says there is, thank you for that beautiful letter that you wrote me, and thank you for your lovely thoughts, and please excuse me for the misunderstanding in class. And I wish you nothing but happiness. And thanks again. I'll see you on Tuesday, Maestra Paola. Anyway, I just thought that was so lovely. And it just kind of made the day and all that anxiety and stress and the week, you know, being stressed about the test and then the test not happening and all the other stuff and the letter and the flowers and just the embarrassment and all of that. It just kind of made it all just kind of go away, and it just made everything all better. And anyway, see, I told you everything's fine. And he's like, and it's a good thing that you wrote her that letter. See, everything was fine. And now you're going to continue on with Italian school. It's going to be good for you. You're going to enjoy it. He's like, it's good for you to get out of the house and go do that. So anyway, so I'm going on to level 2 of Italian. And I'm going to be sharing that with you as well, like I've been sharing the first class. And so anyway, we'll see how what happens. But that was what happened this past week. So before I get into our surrounding sounds for this week's episode and the Italian that I'm going to be reading to you, I want to quickly thank our sponsor, ExpressVPN, for being our first sponsor of this show and for offering 3 months free to all of our listeners when they sign up for a one-year package. ExpressVPN is fantastic because it keeps you from being followed and tracked by apps on your phone. And many apps on your phone, whether you realize it or not, are tracking you. They're tracking what you're doing. They're tracking what you're spending money on. And they're doing a lot of things that you probably hope that they wouldn't do or don't even realize they're doing. Also, just big tech companies, which operate some of these apps, but also just sometimes the ones that built the phone that you have in your hand. ExpressVPN hides all of your personal data and does not allow you to be tracked by anyone. One of the other wonderful benefits of ExpressVPN is allowing you to use public Wi-Fi without anybody realizing that you're there. Hackers cannot see you when you're out and about in an airport or traveling somewhere and using public Wi-Fi anywhere in the world. It could be in the United States, could be in your own country, wherever you are from. Wherever you are, if you have ExpressVPN on your phone, you are basically cloaked in privacy and you are not able to be seen, and therefore you cannot be hacked by hackers who often hang out at these places and want to break into your devices, your computer, your phone, and steal your identity, your credit card information, whatever. That happens to a lot of people every year, millions of people every year. And so anyway, that's another one of the wonderful benefits. You also are able to use your phone as if you're still back in your home country. You can trick your phone into thinking that it's back in your home country while you're traveling, which allows you to make and receive free calls and texts when you're on Wi-Fi. It's amazing. And you can also use all of your streaming services while you're traveling abroad. Any of your streaming services would normally be blocked and prohibited from use when you're outside of your home country, but when you're actually signed up for the ExpressVPN and their powerful, amazing service, you are able to use your streaming services anywhere in the world because, again, you can trick your phone into thinking that it is anywhere. And that's why you're not able to be tracked by Google or Apple or any of the other big tech companies, because they cannot see where you are. The VPN, the virtual private network, keeps you basically invisible and keeps you protected and private. And so anyway, I just want to thank ExpressVPN. You can go to imovingtoitaly.com, click on the link on the Nathan's Favorite Things page for ExpressVPN. When you sign up with them, you get 3 months free when you sign up for a one-year plan. It's only about $8 a month, and it is worth the peace of mind to make sure that you are not only safe and protected, but the money that you will save on international calls while you're traveling, if you are a traveler, even if you just use it on one trip for just 1 week, it pays for itself many times over. I used to spend hundreds of dollars every single time I would travel for work, when I would leave the United States, and whether I was in Mexico or Canada or in Europe. Anytime I would travel, I would spend all this money on AT&T because I would have to get this extra package on my phone. Anyway, so check out ExpressVPN. I have a link on the homepage. I have a link on Nathan's Favorite Things page at imovingtoitaly.com. So check it out. I highly recommend it. And thank you to them for supporting our channel. Okay, so normally I would read from my new Italian book that I've started reading, but because today is San Valentino, St. Valentine's Day, I would like to take a quick moment and read one of my favorite passages about love, because today is love, and I'm going to read it in Italian for you. L'amore è pazienza, l'amore è gentile, l'amore non ha invidia, non si vanta, non è oragoloso. L'amore non disonora gli altri, non è autoricettare, non si arrabbia facilmente, non tiene traccia di torti. L'amore non si diletta nel male, ma se l'amore si ragghiale della verità, l'amore protegge sempre, da sempre, fiducia, sempre spera, sempre perserva. And I don't know if you were able to understand what that was or guess what that was, but here is what that same passage is in English. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Happy Valentine's Day from Italy. I'm sending you lots of love. I hope that you can feel it. I hope that you are surrounded by love wherever you are listening to this today. And I want to just say thank you for being here and sharing this time with me. Okay, well, that brings us to our surrounding sounds for this week's episode. And what I'm going to be sharing with you are these sounds. The first thing is I'm going to be sharing with you that moment where I asked the teacher, excuse me, but when are we taking our test? So I have that sound for you and the class's reaction to that, and then the teacher writing everything on the board. So I have that sound. Then I have the sound of buying those flowers for the teacher on my way to Italian school. And then I have the sound of me walking into Italian school and letting the secretaries know that these flowers are supposed to be for the teacher. So that whole moment unfolds right there. I captured all of that to share with you as well. And then finally, at the end, I have the sound of the Italian family singing a little bit of Tanti auguri to me here in Italy yesterday. So enjoy those sounds, and I will be back afterwards to say goodbye.
La testa è domani? La testa?
Sì.
Testa?
No, no, mi ha già fatto. A posto?
Testa è finito?
Sì, 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 basta, basta.
Questo è l'ultima domanda.
No, no, l'ha fatto il testa.
No, sì. Oh, io... mi scusi. Ah, oh, ok, capito.
Avevi capito io... che c'era un altro test?
Sì, no, Io ho pensato questo altro testa con un pratico. Però questo è la testa.
Basta.
Finisce. Wow! Bravissimo! Ieri io alla scuola 30 minuti.
Prima,
esatto. Oh Dio, la testa.
E io mi scrivo queste cose.
Ok, scusi, grazie.
Molto preoccupato. Preoccupato. Per il test finale.
Ah sì.
No, tanto è molto preoccupato per il test finale. Per fortuna. La maestra. Ha detto, passato prossimo, ha detto che non c'è. Nathan è molto contento.
È vero.
No, quando iniziamo a due, dopo facciamo un test, dopo due o tre lezioni, facciamo un piccolo test, ma non è per dire bene o male, per vedere il livello, come siete.
Capito, ok, grazie mille.
Per fare come quello che abbiamo fatto per uno, che vi diciamo, sì, tu bene qua, puoi fare un po' meno ore, eccetera, eccetera.
Capito, grazie.
Anna ha detto Nata.
Sì.
Prego.
Oh, scusi.
Sì, sì.
Oh, mi scusi.
Sì.
Uno? Prego, esatto.
Ok. Sì. E questa qua. Che colore?
Bianca, questo colore. Colore. Sì, questo. Sì, sì.
Ok.
Grazie mille.
Niente. Preparo da regalo?
Sì.
Prego.
Grazie.
Sì, con la confezione regalo 7.
Sì. 7.
Okay.
Perfetto. Grazie.
Niente. Ecco qua, pronti?
Grazie.
A lei. 7, 3, 10, 10, 20.
Grazie mille.
Grazie a lei.
Buongiorno.
Arrivederci.
Ciao.
Buongiorno. Vuoi misurare la temperatura? Ce la fai?
Temperatura
normale. Grazie. Ok.
Questa è per questa.
Paola?
Sì.
Ah, vorresti dargliela?
Sì.
Paola? La mettiamo da qualche parte?
No.
No, no, guarda, Paola?
No.
Sì. Va bene. Che bella.
Io in sesto classe.
No, sei in quella classe.
Sei con Vera, vero?
Sì.
È per Vera?
Sì.
Sei con Vera?
Grazie, grazie.
No.
Ciao. Niente. Tutto bene. Scusi. No. Buongiorno.
Le pulizie, allora sono spese in più, capito?
Sì, è vero.
Allora, se lui è vicino, dà un'occhiata, è questo che io mi preoccupo. Tanti auguri a te, tanti auguri a Nata, tanti auguri a te.
Wow, incredibile. Who made this?
Huh?
Who made this?
Auntie?
Auntie! Wow! Ananas, torta d'ananas. Wow, bravissimo.
Tanti auguri a te. Tanti auguri a Nathan. Tanti auguri a te.
Wow.
I hope you enjoyed those sounds from this week's episode. Thank you for coming back and sharing this beautiful Valentine's Day here with me. Even if you aren't listening to this on Valentine's Day and you're listening to it in the future, lots of love to you from Italy. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to write a quick review on the podcast. If you don't know how to write a review, you can reach out to me. I'm happy to share with you how to do that. And I want to thank those of you who have taken time to do that. We are getting closer to our goal of 100 total reviews for the podcast on multiple different platforms. I think we're up to about 60 now on Apple. And so I just want to thank you. It has made a big difference. More and more people are able to find our show and share this time together with us and the family that we've created, this community. Because you all feel like family to me, and I want to let you know how grateful I am for each one of you. So, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice today, I hope you are healthy and well. And until next week, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.